Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who are convinced of their own righteousness and despised everybody else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance. He would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's always a good exercise in our prayer to prepare for Mass by looking at the theme within the context of the liturgical season and why the Church would choose something as it does to emphasize that theme. We're now in the second phase of Lent, in which we focus on the preparation for the renewal of our baptismal promises and assist those who are preparing to be baptized. Why would today's readings be chosen with that theme as the backdrop? God wants to see growth in our faith from the time of our baptism. Church normally uses the image of Ezekiel 47 to drive that point home. The water flowing from the eastern side of the temple, which of course points to the blood and water flowing from Jesus' side. It comes out for us as a trickle, just like it hit our head. And then it goes 500 yards, 1,000 cubits, and it's up to our ankles, and then to our knees, and then to our waist. And then it's over our head, and it swims. The only way we can traverse it at all is to immerse ourselves in it, that living water that brings life even in the Arabah, that incredibly arid desert between Judea and the Dead Sea. And it gets to the Dead Sea, and it raises that sea to life, bringing the capacity to live anew. That's the pattern of the growth in our baptism. Today, the Church uses a different prophet to describe that same growth. Hosea, one of a series of prophets that were sent by the Lord spiritually to smote Ephraim and Judah, to slay them by the words of his mouth so that they might die in order to live, die to sinfulness so that they might rise in communion with the Lord who was life. Hosea said for God to his people, your piety is like the morning cloud, like the dew that early passes away. It's there in the morning, but it's not enough to compete against the scorching sun. It's kind of like that superficial rocky soil in Jesus' parable about the sower and the seed. Starts out okay, but it doesn't persevere. Now, the prophet can be interpreted to describe the whole pattern of the day. They get up and they make an awesome morning offering, but then over the course of the rest of the day, they don't keep those holy intentions. They don't persevere in communion with the Lord. They don't make their life a prayer. but it can also extend more broadly to the way we start out as young. But the Lord wants that morning dew to become a river flowing to eternal life. And a lot of the times we just don't cooperate with that growth. What is the fruit of that growth? That's the theme today. It's for us to become as merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. That's why Jesus gives us, and the church chooses, this parable of the publican and the Pharisee in the temple. It's one of Jesus' most powerful parables, in my opinion, when we really delve into it. And insofar as we've all come to this chapel early in the morning to pray, his lessons are really instructive. Two people went up to pray. One, the Pharisee. We've talked about the Pharisee a lot. For him to get up to that temple area to pray required incredible effort. Beautiful gate. Nearly 100 steps. It was on the top of a mountain. Where was he coming from? Don't know, but probably a distance. The Pharisees fasted 3 days a week, not just once a year, as a Jew was prescribed to do. This particular Pharisee tithed his whole income, not just the small segment of things one owned that the Mosaic Law prescribed that they would tithe. He fasted twice a week, this Pharisee, but more than the once a year. He made it on up. Outwardly, he was a very religious man. He was coming there to pray. But Jesus, through St. Luke, tells us something about his prayer. He prayed to himself. Rather than praising God, he was praising himself with prayerful language. Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like the losers out all around me. Like the rest of humanity, I am so exceptional that I am not like anyone. The rest are greedy. The rest are dishonest. Every one of you are adulterous. Or even worse, like this tax collector over here who will extort your own people. He didn't realize that he was proud, vain, uncharitable, judgmental, and the list could go on. Rather than examining his conscience and praying a prayer of contrition, he was thanking the Lord for making him the greatest. But the tax collector prayed in a different way. He didn't even think he belonged there. Many of us would wonder why he was even going up to the temple to pray. He was so despised by everybody who would be out there. Would he just stay in the courtyard of the Gentiles with all the heathen? Would he even dare to go into the courtyard of the Jews, which is where the priests would bring the sacrifices to offer before the Holy of Holies? But he just kept his eyes down, beat his breast, and prayed in supplication, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said that it was his prayer that was heard. The other went home not justified, not in a right relationship with God, even though externally he was doing everything right. I desire mercy, God tells us through Hosea today as well as the responsorial psalm. When it's translated love, that's the toughest word to translate in Sacred Scripture, because hesed means both love and mercy and tenderness. And generally, unless you're going to translate it merciful love or loving mercy, you're not going to get it right. You'll be missing something in the translation. He desires it. He desires us to grow in it. He desires us to persevere and be transformed in it. And it was clear that this Pharisee, for all his virtuous action, hadn't yet become like God. He hadn't persevered in the prayers that he was saying of the Torah. he hadn't lived what God had slain him to live by the words of the prophet Hosea. But the publican got it. The publican got that God was merciful. And he came up to beg for that mercy, perseveringly. And his prayer was heard. And he went down from the temple area justified. It's interesting, sisters, as we approach Holy Week, these two characteristics are the drama. When on Holy Thursday night, on Thursday of the week that I was in the Holy Land, I invited all the pilgrims, if they wanted to voluntarily, to retrace with me Jesus' footsteps on Holy Thursday night. Because it's really grueling to go down into the Kidron Valley to Gethsemane from Mount Zion, where Jesus had the Last Supper, and then to be dragged literally across the Kidron Valley again, very steeply up to Caiaphas, the high priest's house, and to be dragged across the city to Pontius Pilate, and then back even further to where Herod was, and then back to Pontius Pilate in the court of the Sanhedrin that was there at the temple, and then to be condemned to death and to carry his own cross up the Via Dolorosa. To walk that is grueling, even for young adults. But as we were going through, we were doing Lectio Divinae. And at one point, talked about what we'll talk about on Tuesday of Holy Week. This incredible contrast between Peter and Judas. Both sinned. But Judas, even though he had been following Jesus for 3 years by that point, had never captured what Jesus was describing about mercy. Despite having heard the parable of the prodigal son live, despite watching him absolve the sins of the paralyzed man lowered through the roof, despite having him steer down the Pharisees with rocks in their hand in the temple area when the woman was dragged before him, caught in the very act of adultery. Beyond Jesus' words that heaven rejoices more for one repentant sinner. Beyond all the work that Jesus had done commenting on his first homily, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is here, repent and believe in the gospel and making that repentance efficacious. Judas hadn't gotten any of it. And because he hadn't gotten any of it, when he recognized what he had done, he would be dead even before Jesus would breathe his last on Calvary. Judas would have never guessed the night before that he was precipitating his own death because he just hadn't recognized God's mercy. Peter, however, soon as he recognized that his weak flesh had won, soon as he had seen that he had essentially apostatized, denying 3 times that he even knew who Jesus was, when he saw the Lord, he wept bitterly, but with a bitterness that would bring conversion because he knew the Lord's mercy. And eventually, as we see throughout the Easter season, that dialogue at the Sea of Galilee, Jesus restored Peter and said that he would, in fact, lay down his life for him, and that the Lord would entrust his entire church to this person who had sinned in such a way, because all of us build our faith on Peter's conversion. That's the real life example of this parable of the Pharisee and the publican, whether we get God's mercy or not. And at the very beginning of our life as a Christian, we were bathed in this mercy flowing from the blood and water that exited Jesus' sacred heart. And the Lord wants this recognition to be more than the morning dew. He wants it to become a stream that wells up within us to eternal life, and that wells up within many others to that same eternity. Today, as we come forward up to this temple, the Lord's about to listen to our prayer. Let us ask his help so that we might pray with the humility that he asks, with the mercy he slays us to receive and then to share, and with the faith that will lead us ultimately to be exalted at his mercifully, gloriously wounded right side. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.